Paul Kelly, one of Australia's most enduring, critically acclaimed singer-songwriters, has been around in many forms, many styles, many groups, many collaborations. But one thing he's never done is had a number one album. Well, that's all changed now. His latest gone straight to the top. And Paul Kelly is with us. Good morning.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm extremely well. More importantly, how are you, based on the fact you've never had a number one and yet you have a number one now? Is that my sense of this? Correct me if I'm wrong. That's not the sort of thing that's ever driven you.
No, it's not the main focus, of course. But you never knock back a number one when you get it. You know when how people say, "Oh, I don't really care about awards," and until they get an award, and then they do care. So I'm pleased about it. And also, yeah, I work with a team. You know, I don't do this on my own. I've got work with a band, and in the case of this record, it was a big band, the record company, and the management people and all that. And so they all get very excited about a number one, and it's kind of contagious. So I'm happy for the team.
Well, and you should be happy for yourself as well. The point of it being, do you have, when you're putting anything together, is there something that goes on and you go, you know what, this could be just a little bit different?
Well, I knew with this record that it'd be probably more widely accessible, because I've done a few records over the last few years that were sort of a bit more off the beaten track. I did a record last year of Shakespeare sonnets put to music, and then a record with my friend Charlie Owen of songs we sung at funerals. So I was pretty keen to follow those records up with something more upbeat and playful and with a full band, lots of harmony singing.
Yeah.
So I knew this record would probably get more listeners.
Work me through the process. I've been a fan of yours for years, and you've done, I don't know how many collaborations you've had and how many names and groups you've had. What's the process? What drives all that?
I'm a writer first, I guess. First thing I am is a writer before I'm a performer. I always wanted to be a writer right from when I was 15 or 16, and I wanted to be sort of a prose or a poetry writer. I wrote my first song when I was 21, and then sort of got hooked on that. So writing is a form of play, really. I like words. I like wordplay, like puns. I get word of the day, a little word of the day email in my inbox every day. Origins, meanings of words. So it sort of starts from that. I rhyme for fun, and then trying to make them into songs. Everything else comes from that. The recording and the touring and the and the rest of it.
So those words, so you take the words, and the words can come out folk, they can come out rock or country, bluegrass. Where does that part come into it?
I listen widely. I like nearly all kinds of music. Maybe not heavy metal or speed metal.
No.
I don't really listen to much. But, I listen pretty widely. And I'm a pretty basic musician. So I wouldn't be the kind of musician that would play in someone else's band. I'm not virtuosic, but when I write a song, I've got the chords and the words and the melody, but I can take it to a band, and it can, in some ways, the songs are quite flexible. They can go different ways, and all the people in this band in particular are very wide ranging and eclectic taste. So that all sort of comes to bear on how the songs are arranged. So they, and I like to make each song its own little world. So it's just a piece of itself and keep variety.
Now, Paul, you talked about writing before, previously, writing the songs. You said it's a scavenging art, a desperate act, a little bit here, never quite knowing what you're doing. You're talking yourself down a bit in reality, you reckon?
No, I'm not meaning to say that at all. It's just, it's not, songwriting is not like, people sort of talk about songwriting as a craft, but I've never thought of it that way. I mean, a craft to me is, it's making a pair of shoes or making a table. I mean, when you're a craftsman and you can get up in the morning and say, I'm going to make a pair of shoes. I know steps A, B, C, D, and E, and at the end of the day, I'll have a pair of shoes. But songwriting is not like that. I'll turn up to work. You've got to turn up. I go to the piano or the guitar, but at the start of the day. But at the end of the day, I might not have a song. It's much more like fishing, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you got to turn up. You got to go fishing day one, two, three, four. Might not catch a fish, and day five, you're there and you catch fish. You might catch a whole load.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What about the co-writing though? I mean, how does that work? Do you enjoy that? Obviously, you co-written with a lot of people, and Missy Higgins and Casey Chambers, and so it goes. You obviously get something out of that, and presumably they get something out of it.
Yeah, I think all writers fall into their own habits and patterns. And co-writing or collaborating is a way of shaking those patterns up. And the beauty of it is, you know, if you're writing with another person, you come up with something that neither of you could have done on your own. I mean, that's the beauty of collaboration. You make this thing that wouldn't have happened unless you got together. I mean, that's why people join sports clubs or join choirs or go to church or whatever they do, or have a, you know, make a festival,
yeah.
to be part of something that's bigger than just themselves.
Tell you what, Neil Finn, here's why I like your music, because Neil Finn said it better. Unique and powerful mixes, everyday detail with big issues of life, death, love and struggle, not a trace of pretense or fakery. That about sums it up, doesn't it?
Oh, sweet Neil.
Isn't he fantastic?
He is. I hear he's making a new record and streaming some of it live.
It's an incredible story. I think it's a stroke of genius. So each Friday, 7 o'clock New Zealand, 5 o'clock Australian, he streams a song and he records the thing and he sends it off and mix it. Then he's going to do the whole album, stream live, send it off and mix it and release it, which I think, and apart from anything, marketing-wise, is a stroke of genius, isn't it?
Well, he's the man who's one step ahead, isn't he?
He's good. I like him. Talking to me about your film and your TV scores and the difference. What's the attraction of doing that as opposed to writing music for records and performance and shows?
I don't do a lot of it. I wouldn't want to do it that much because it's quite finicky. You know, you have to write, you know, a section that's 1 minute and 10 seconds long, or something here for 45 seconds. And you have to be right, very exact. So it's quite laborious in that way. But what's fun about it is that you don't have to write words, and words are the hardest part for me of writing songs. So I find musical ideas a bit easier.
Yeah. What about your kids? They're all in music. Is that something that you would have at some point, if I'd asked you, hey, do you want your kids to be in music, you would have gone, yep, best life going?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I've never thought about telling my kids what to do or even having wishes for what they do. I'm glad. My daughters are about to put their first album out next week. So, you know, they're all getting pretty excited.
Not surprised.
Now I can hear my phone beeping, which means my battery's about to die.
All right. Well, that's all right. No worries. There's no. Just one
Sorry.
More. One more question. Were you really born in a taxi outside Calvary Hospital?
I was born in a car in a Morris Minor outside Calvary Hospital, Strangways Terrace, North Adelaide. That part's true. I made the taxi part up.
What a great story. Well, Paul Kelly, before the phone dies, warmest congratulations on the number one. Look forward to the tour. Lovely to talk to you.
Thanks, Mike. See ya.
Paul Kelly on a dying phone for us this morning. Life is Fine, number one, is the album.